There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Bowen.
And we want to introduce you to the new Cantina menu at Taco Bell.
Ooh! It's an all-new chicken menu with fresh new ingredients. Great as a lunchtime option.
Taste for yourself. The slow-roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage,
yummy,
and new avocado verde salsa sauce.
Okay! With new menu options like Cantina chicken tacos, burrito, and quesadilla, there's something for everyone.
With this new Cantina chicken menu, the possibilities are endless.
Try the new Cantina chicken menu at Taco Bell. Canva presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. Start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, add images, graphics, charts, and data visualizations from the massive media library. It's easy to wow any audience with Canva presentations. Canva presentations are perfect for any deck you want to design for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can nail their presentation with Canva presentations. Perfect, record, and share a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. You'll appear in a video as a talking head on the slide, and it's the perfect solution if you can't be present in person or if time zones are tricky. Nail your next work presentation with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
Look, Matt.
Where? Oh, I see. My, oh, my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Oh,
yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Cool. Wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
I mean, this is a great moment in time.
I feel that it is.
We have been watching all season what I'm going to call the television event of the year.
It's appointment television.
Yes.
At this point, we're going to talk about the episodes that have aired up till now.
Of The White Lotus.
So big, big, big spoiler alert up ahead. If you're not caught up.
It's time.
It's time. It's important that you are and that you do catch up.
And I hate telling the readers turn back now, but it's important because I obviously wouldn't want to ruin anything because this is that show that is like every single minute gives something to talk about. And I also have to say, so there's been 5 episodes out by now. And I wonder if you agree. At the end of episode 5, there's a moment that is like the ass eating scene in season 1. It's going to have everybody talking. And of course, we're talking about when the nephew fucks his own uncle in the ass.
Okay. Oh, that's his uncle.
Yes, bitch.
Oh my God. See, this is all.
It's all coming back. To quote a great singer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not even gonna.
Why? It's early in the morning.
It's a little past noon.
I'm warmed up because I just came from Grindr has gone public.
Congratulations.
Which is the definition of queer rights.
What's the IPO? I wonder.
GRNDR.
Great. I might buy at least 20% of the company.
At least 20%.
I wanna feel like Barbara Corcoran up in this.
Oh my God.
Piece.
You're ready to go in.
I'm ready to go in and make decisions.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What's more queer rights? Grindr going public in the New York Stock Exchange
or,
and Crystal Waters and Jada Essence Hall performing this morning.
I mean, that's hard to beat. Or Essex fuckboy fucking his own uncle.
Or me on the way to this episode of Las Culturistas listening to
Into the Unknown.
No, girl, the theme to White Lotus.
Oh my God. You're not doing like the tongue movement.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, the warbling.
Yeah. So this is me running to the episode today. I'm running, running, running. That's happening.
Yeah.
My ear pod falls out of my ear, falls on the ground. I go, shit. I go, and I pick up the thing, I put it back in my ear, and I start running again, and I hear, and it just like sort of like keeps
changing. Can I tell you something is happening right now in the culture?
Tell me what is happening in the culture right now.
Soundtracks and scoring is really ambiently affecting everyone's lives and shaping the experience of things. Uh-huh. And it's, there's nothing more electrifying.
And I was walking here so galvanized.
Yes. Though,
because I knew we were coming to what was going to be a legendary episode of this podcast. And this is quite a week.
This is quite a
week. Because yesterday, I just want to say, I was on the Kelly Clarkson show.
Oh my God, we can talk about this
we
now.
We can talk about it.
I had it. I put it on my fucking calendar. I said, Matt's on Kelly.
I'm telling the guest, my number one favorite person in this world since I'm 11 years old is Kelly Clarkson. Yesterday, I got to be on her show to promote my special, Have You Heard of Christmas, which is streaming on December 2nd. Mm. And let me tell you, the energy was so...
Oh.
Am I going to cry? So literally warm, gorgeous, just open. And I couldn't have asked for a better experience with the person that has meant so much to me. And I sat next to Chloe Grace Moretz herself.
Amazing.
She was a gag. We talked Amazing. Housewives off air.
She is a scholar.
And I'm saying, like, wow, the way that this year has been, like, literally made worth it just for that one meeting alone.
Oh, man. And what's important is that you got to meet her on your terms, quote unquote. You'd been in the audience. You had opportunities to say hello to her. You decided years ago when Joel went on, you were like,
I can't meet her.
I can't meet her. I would love, the ideal situation is someday I'm going to meet her when it's my own thing.
I was just like, because I always break down and cry before I even take steps to her because I've been
when
in
you
her proximity.
Think about her, you get emotional.
Literally. And so like, then there I was. And to have my first meeting with her ever on cam, like that rocks.
Rocks.
And also what I love about her, the cameras go up. She's the same person as the cameras go down, but swearing like a sailor.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is every other third. We have to ask the guest, but like, it was amazing. And I just wanted to make sure that I honored the fact that I did meet her and the loyal readers have been waiting for this moment and I've been waiting for this moment. And so I want to acknowledge and say it was better than I ever could
have
imagined.
Oh my God, Matt, I'm so happy for you. Please, everyone, readers, watch Have You Heard of Christmas on Showtime.
It's coming out on December 2nd, this Friday.
This Friday. So exciting.
And speaking of, so I did Vulture Festival.
Oh my God.
In LA, it was one of my first like things to start promoting the special. And I look at the schedule, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I see
Betty.
That I see, well, Betty, who I had always wanted to do the special because like, if I was going to do a sing along, I had to have
you
Betty.
Had to have Betty.
But I look at the schedule and I see that there's going to be an advanced screening of, at the time, episode 3 of White Lotus with Megan Fahey. And I said to myself, maybe it would be the gag to invite Megan on. And because I knew that our friend Steven Simbari manages her.
Yeah.
And so I reach out and I'm like, would this be possible? Thinking probably busy, probably not interested, etc. Came slayed.
Oh, we've seen the video.
And you gotta look at the video because if you don't know, now you know. This is not only a capital A actress, capital S star, capital S singer. You must understand, this is a person that is on the precipice of majorness and already just like it's like so incredible in everything that she's done. We're so excited that she's here. You know her from The Bold Type. You know her from this season of The White Lotus. Fucking get this, Next to Normal on Broadway.
Yeah, legendary.
A multitude of things and a massive future. And literally the readers are ready for this one. Everyone's
it's
ready for this
it's
one.
It's all clicking.
It's all clicking.
Do you know what
clicking.
I mean? Like even with the Vulture Fest video of you two singing Oh Holy Night. By the way, she asks a very valid question, which is, does anyone know the second verse?
And we'll get into it.
You came ready.
You know, I've just watched so many like Beltresses do that song in my life that it's like
and
sense
Josh Groban. Don't
course,
count him out.
Well, she's a Beltress.
She's a Beltress.
That's a rule of culture number 59. Josh Groban is a Beltress. And we look forward to all her future projects.
But you two just hitting the vine, that last vine. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, do it.
Oh, no, I'm not doing it, but the Oh Night D, you guys both beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful sort of synchronicity.
It was a gorgeous moment in time. One of my favorite life moments. And now
she's here in person. We're doing this in person.
Yes.
We're recording a lot of our episodes in person again, and it's such a joy. We're so happy she's here. Everyone, please welcome
Megan Fahey. Oh my God. We're so happy.
Hello.
Hi. It's like such a joy to have you here because like that was such a moment. I was like, she'll never say yes. And then you said yes and came in crushed.
I still can't believe that we did that because it's been so long since I've even sung in front of anybody.
Really?
Yeah. And you were so chill about it. You were like, it's whatever, like rehearse if you want or don't.
Well, then you showed up to rehearsal and I was like, and I saw Eric Gerson, who was musical directing for me, who's our old friend. And like at one point you're rehearsing and like you walked off after you did and he looks at me like, what? And I was like, yeah, I know. It's like the real deal.
No, but I thought it was going to be a duet. So I got there to rehearse. Because I was like, I'm not just showing up and winging this.
Yeah.
Which is what ended up happening anyway.
Oh my God.
That's just kind of
my
MO.
And he was like, what kind of key? And I was like, well, whatever works for Matt, like probably we should talk about that. And he was like, no, I think whatever works for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so then is this good or bad that you show up and it sounds like it might have been too chill? Is this fair to
no,
say?
No, it was great. Okay. Because like your easy breeziness made me less nervous.
Yeah.
And I was so nervous the idea of it. And then when I got up there, and because I had been watching the show, which was going so well, and everybody was loving you so much that I just actually got up there and had fun.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we did like what ended up being
a truly spontaneous
duet.
Well, because you brought me in. And also, the thing is, like, so I would never actually endeavor to sing that song because I feel like that is like the great big song of Christmas. And then when you were like, now, who actually knows the second verse to this song? I literally, there was a thing in my head and I had the mic as the host of the show and I was like, I think I know the second verse. And there we are all the way in your key.
All the way.
And that was the thing that really took me out. I was like, how dare you sing this higher and better than me?
And that is not true.
It is true.
No. Stunning.
You were both amazing, resplendent. It was just even on the video, which I was like, it must have been something else to be there in person.
It was so fun. That was a really,
was really
fun
special.
Show. That was
Thank
a really
you for
good
having
one.
Me. That I was mean, like... one of my favorite life moments.
Oh, come on.
But I'm then, serious.
So Steven tells me you had a Christmas album as a kid or like you sang Christmas music
so
as a kid?
So I'm like still on the fence about whether or not
you have to
share.
I want anybody
know.
To know this. But it is true. I do have a Christmas album that
Amazing.
I made when I was like 12.
What?
All covers, all illegal.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Like no rights.
Is it streamable?
Certainly not.
Okay.
My grandfather is dressed as Santa Claus and featured on the album art.
Naturally. Oh. What were some of the songs?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm giving you literally like the Simpson sister Christmas duet.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
God.
So it's like,
have you heard it?
No. What is that?
They do Little Drummer Boy.
Oh, you mean like Ashley and Jessica? Pum.
Yes.
Oh, the literal Simpson sisters.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Oh my God.
Here we go. So here's the thing about Prumpa Pum Pum by the Simpson Sisters. That's actually one of the great Christmas standards.
Absolutely. Okay. And you were 12? I think you're our age. That we were 12.
Yeah.
So this was peak Simpson.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You like, it wasn't even that you gave it time to like let their Little Drummer Boy like congeal in the culture. You just went for
it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Brava.
What else? Kelly Clarkson's Grown Up Christmas
List. Grown Up Christmas List. Are you a Kelly fan?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Wait, so did you sing with her?
I didn't. So my publicists were sort of like, would you want us to float singing with her? And so like I said, like, I'm like in pure panic and terror whenever it comes to things like that. Because, you know, it's one thing to sing by yourself because you can sort of like mess around. Like obviously like a comedian who sings.
Who sings.
And then like... when they're like, would you want to sing with Kelly Clarkson? Can we float that as an option? I literally was like, no, 10 car alarm. Like, no way. Like, do not do it. Like, I would never dare sing with her. But like, I understand the question.
Of course.
But the answer is a hard no. Have you been on her show?
Wait, so you didn't?
No.
Oh, Matt.
One day, maybe.
One day.
I get it.
You know what I mean?
I totally get it. It's like almost too much.
I mean, she's, I think, well, let's talk about this. Who is the best singer? Like, I would say the way she can sing anything, I'm like, you're scary. Like, she's like wild.
Yeah, it is a little spooky.
Yeah.
I mean, feel like you will have another opportunity.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, let's just say it went well enough where the producers were like, you have to come back, which is what you always want to hear.
Okay, so I feel like a performance on a second visit is actually chef's kiss.
Yep. Oh my God.
Would you do it?
Have you been on her show?
I also would not do it.
No.
I think I would just look at her and cry. Like, I don't.
But you could.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't know.
Were you a Kelly fan?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, like anyone our age.
I mean, like, and this comes full circle because, like, it's a little bit of my culture moment later that I'll share.
Yes, oh my God, yay.
But I used to, like, sit in my basement and, like, stare out my basement window singing Breakaway. Cut to, like, kind of recently when I learned that Avril Lavigne wrote that song.
Yes, she did. She did.
And it's complicated, so to speak, because there's Avril and Kelly history.
Do you know the story of Avril and Kelly?
I don't think I do.
So this is the story of Avril and Kelly. So, this is a gag. So when Kelly was a finalist in the top two on American Idol, this is like Avril's big moment. Avril's like hugely famous from like Skater Boy and like
Complicated.
You know, Complicated. She's like having a big moment.
Yeah.
So this is between Skater Boy and I'm With You. Avril Lavigne wins Best New Artist at the VMAs. And presenting that is Justin Guarini and Kelly Clarkson, who were in the midst of the finals week of American Idol. So they are so excited, they announce Avril Lavigne. Avril Lavigne, whose image at the time is very, like punk rock, like, I'm better than this. Meanwhile, her hooks were literally fucking pop
gorgeous
hooks.
Pop,
like, she was a pop singer, but she pretended she was more
right
punk. So then she gets up on stage, and Kelly goes to hug her. Avril takes her arm, lifts it over her head, and like rudely takes the award from her and goes to the mic. And,
what?
And literally. And I'm sitting there at home being like, I am done. I was like, I can't believe this. And I'm a dyed in the wool.
You never listen to another Avril Lavigne song again after that.
And then literally what happened was I'm watching it and I'm sitting there seething.
You're 11.
I'm 11 years old. I'm sitting there pissed. I think I'm
12.
So then like, I remember a few weeks later, I'm in the car. I think my dad was driving me to like literally catechism, like Wednesday night, like religious school. I'm already in a bad mood. So I'm in the car and I'm hearing this song. Looking for a place, I'm standing for a face, whatever the fuck. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of a major bop. I was like, I'm With You. I'm like, wait.
Yeah.
And then she starts really wailing the end. And I'm like, oh, is this Avril? And then the radio announcer goes, that's the new one from Avril Lavigne. And I was so mad because I was like, oh, wait, she actually can really sing. And that song was legendary.
Yeah.
It was the first time I had ever heard I'm With You. And I was like, fuck. And then I was like, God damn it. Like the moral conundrum of knowing she was so rude to my girl.
Yes.
And also that she had wailed this song. I was like, I still can't.
And then later would write Breakaway.
Then she wrote Breakaway, which was like a B-side that Avril didn't want anymore.
Yeah, because there's a demo version of Avril Lavigne singing it.
Yes.
That's on YouTube.
Yes, there is. And so then later, years later, Howard Stern, Kelly was on Howard Stern, and Kelly told the story of how rude Avril was. And she was like,
good for her.
Yeah. And she was like, yeah, it was really nasty and made me feel really bad because everyone treated us like shit. She
that
was like,
sucks.
Yeah. When we were American Idol finalists, like at that show, she was like, everyone treated us like shit that night. And when that happened on stage, I felt worthless.
Oh my God.
And then,
but then recently Avril was on Kelly's show.
Yes. And they didn't mention it. That whole thing.
But it's all, it seems all patched.
Everything's fine now. Yeah. But it's funny because that was not the
Kelly's
only.
Kelly's a classy gal.
She's the best. And then that Miss Independent was written by Christina Aguilera and was a Christina Aguilera B-side.
Really?
Wow.
Yes. So Kelly was getting like the cast-off songs.
But making them
hits.
Monster hit.
I mean, those were huge hits.
Right.
So this just goes to say, like, Kelly can take any song and make it the moment.
Oh, for sure.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst. Hey, everybody. During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs classic clogs and sandals have both covered.
And when we're talking about style, we mean personal style. There's just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood and to match your personality and to fit the occasion.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style.
And now let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than the Crocs clogs and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you. Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Bowen.
And we want to introduce you to the new Cantina menu at Taco Bell.
Ooh! It's an all-new chicken menu with fresh new ingredients. Great as a lunchtime option.
Taste for yourself. The slow-roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage,
yummy,
and new avocado verde salsa sauce.
Okay! With new menu options like Cantina chicken tacos, burrito, and quesadilla, there's something for everyone.
With this new Cantina chicken menu, the possibilities are endless.
Try the new Cantina chicken menu at Taco Bell.
Well, spring is in full bloom. Are your finances blooming too?
With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card, it's easy to start building credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments with no annual fees or interest.
And if your credit scores grow, so could your opportunities for lower rates on loans, like for a car or a home.
You know what I love about the Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card?
What?
There are no annual fees, interest, or credit checks to apply.
Yes!
You can use it everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. Take back your finances. Build credit using your own money.
Yeah. Did you know that with Chime Credit Builder that you can get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit?
I did. You can also overdraft up to $200 without fees with SpotMe when you set up a qualifying direct deposit. Just set up a qualifying direct deposit, sign up for SpotMe, and Chime will spot you up to your limit when you make a credit card purchase or cash withdrawal that exceeds your balance.
With Chime's secure credit card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at Chime.com/culturistas. That's Chime.com/culturistas. Chime. Feels like progress.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to Chime.com/disclosures for details. Your first talk show appearance was Jimmy Kimmel, like,
yes,
last week?
Oh, yeah.
Or 2 weeks ago.
Last Monday? You were such
a natural.
That is so nice. I have never been more terrified.
Are you really?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Like, and for the duration too. Like, the whole time I was sitting there, I was like,
"You were a charm bouquet." Like, you came out so cool, so lovely.
I mean, he was great. I mean, he was lovely, and everybody that works for him too was like, from the second I got out of the car, everybody was just so nice.
Yeah,
they were probably excited to see you.
It was just really sweet. Uh-huh. So I'm glad that it's over.
Yeah, but there'll be so many more, and you must be like really enjoying this, because like, I don't know how it feels to even book White Lotus and then go there and like film it in that insane location with what seems to be like a really fun cast,
but
then to see it received so well, like, it just has to be crazy.
It is crazy. It's crazy town. It's crazy town USA. Like, I can't even believe I'm sitting here talking to you guys right now.
No, come on.
I think you're both so cool.
No,
don't even.
I'm serious.
What I loved was hearing, wait, you auditioned for the first season.
I did.
What part did you audition for?
The Alex Daddario role.
Alex Daddario part.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. So then like you do that and then you see it and it's like this stunning show. And then you get the audition for the second season. Or was it like he thought of you?
I don't know. I mean, there was a very long casting process.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
I imagine.
Of course.
Actually, now I'm remembering something really funny that happened at the premiere.
Wait, I need to
know. So it was an agent.
Yeah.
Okay. Of a person who I won't say.
Sure. Yeah.
And this agent was like so lovely and like truly meant so well.
Okay.
But somebody brought him up to me at the party. They were like, "We want to introduce you to this person. He really wants to meet you." He comes up. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, it's so nice to meet you." He's like, "We had a picture together. I'm so happy for you." I was like, "Thank you so much." He was like, And I mean, after what happened to you on the first season, you must have just wanted to kill yourself.
Oh,
he was like, I mean, there it was. The biggest moment of your whole career.
Come on.
Out the window. And I went like right into it with him. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
There it was. Gone. Like, I fully just went with him. But I was like, this man, not this man being like, you must have just wanted to end it all.
Yeah.
To unalive yourself.
Yeah.
At the premiere.
So, right. Like, in my head, I'm like packing my bags and moving back to Massachusetts. And I'm like, wait, no.
What?
I'm at the, it's a happy ending.
It worked out.
No, I feel like everything did work out because I feel like this part with you is like, I told you like when I saw you the other day at rehearsal, like she's like walking up to the stage and I'm like, by the way, I was like, you're fucking kicking my ass in this show. Like it was from the second year on screen. It is like so great. I love you and Aubrey together.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It really is. Like, can you talk about like, what that relationship is like? What is she like? Because I feel like she's like sort of enigmatic in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you get who she is on screen, but like that had to be like a fun relationship.
Yeah, it was so fun. And I think that our natural energies are so different that it does sort of just innately create this sort of fascinating dynamic when we're doing scenes together. But I think that's true for basically everybody in the cast. Like Mike has this amazing quality to him where he just like knows that you have something that he needs for that character, and he kind of just lets you like do whatever you want with that.
Yeah.
And he's so good at picking the thing that there's sort of this like ease to all of it because of that.
Because I feel like there are things about this season that I really, really, really am picking up on in a way that I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm like paying a little bit more attention than I was first. It's recency bias. Like, first season feels like a million years ago, even though it wasn't.
But we were saying we love this season. Like, we love the first season. This second season is...
I feel like there's this alchemy through you guys as actors, but also obviously through Mike. But it's like, between you and Theo, there's a very interesting, fertile thing there. But then this last scene in episode 5, I watched it like 4 times.
Yeah, I said to Bowen, I was like, you have to text me after you watch this because I think this is maybe one of the best written scenes I've seen in a really,
really
long time.
Because it's all subtextual.
Yeah.
Like,
it's probably an actor's dream. I'm sure it was a huge challenge on a technical level for you. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it came very organically. But Matt and I were texting each other. The line reads over text of just,
is it?
Is it? Whoopsie.
I'll find it later.
Anyway. Point is,
yeah,
you should get a trainer.
Get a trainer.
I just like that idea of like you basically saying right there, don't fuck with my family, which I loved.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
you look at you managing what you can and cannot say.
Well, no, I mean, I think what Daphne's actually insinuating in that moment is like quite dark.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Which is an actor's dream because that's so fun to play like these like nuanced like under the surface. You're saying one thing and you're meaning something else, kind of like, and Mike's writing is so good that like it does kind of come easily in a way because it's just like all there in the words. But yeah, I don't know if I should say what I think she's insinuating or not because I don't even know.
You know a lot.
You know a lot.
So, and then you don't want to tip anything. But the thing is, I wonder like, what is he like as a director? Because he's also an actor. I've worked with a lot of actor directors actually. And have you? Like,
yeah, a couple. Yeah,
it's very different the way that they get in there and the way that because they don't want to tip anything or give too heavy a direction. It is all there, but I wonder like what's the experience of working with him as a director?
It's kind of amazing because he's actually very unconcerned. Like he knows exactly what he wants.
Mm.
He gives very clear notes. Mm. He doesn't give a ton of notes.
Interesting.
And if you ask him a question like, hey, what do you think about this? Like, or I don't know, I was thinking about this scene, and he'll literally just be like, I don't know, whatever you want.
Yeah, I had a feeling
like
he'd be
just is so light about it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, was a little bit surprising to me, I think, on some level, because he's so razor sharp with what he's trying to execute.
And with the end product, it's always so crisp.
I was kind of surprised to experience him as being that free.
Yeah.
And somehow also specific, you know?
Yeah.
It depends on the actor. Like, for someone who's relatively inexperienced like me, like, if I'm not getting something clear from a director, I spin out just a little bit and I go, well, all right. Like, in my mind, the guiding hand is not, like, coming in the way that I want it to, and that's your own ego. But the fact that it all works, like, for you and Mike, that's very cool.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I experienced that, like we all do, like as actors, there's a part of us that's sort of conditioned to sort of like need the guidance, mm-hmm. crave the approval, like
yes.
have the back and forth and all of those things. And so it can be really uncomfortable in a space where you're not necessarily getting that like gratification yeah. all the time.
Yeah.
But I think it's really effective in a way because mm-hmm. it sort of forces you to like make choices.
Yeah.
And again, like he very much guided everybody, of but course. He's also not entirely concerned with like backstory. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as actors, it's like you show up and you're like,
right.
Well, I have to have all these like intelligent questions to ask because I just need him to know that I'm thinking about things yes. and I yes. care yes. and I have opinions and you made the right choice for asking me to be here. Like, and I had this meeting with him on my schedule when I first got to Italy and it was like 30 minutes on my schedule and I was like freaking out. I was like, this is my opportunity to tell him why I deserve to be here. And he was like, so do you have any questions? And I was like, no. And he was like, okay, cool. Well, if you want to change anything, let me know. I'm here. Text me, call me, whatever.
Wow.
And literally that was it. And then Theo came in and we chatted with him a little bit. But he was so like, he's like, whatever helps you.
Yeah.
Like if you want to go through the backstory and figure out the things, like go for it.
Uh-huh.
He was like, but the vibe that I got from him is like, whatever helps you is great.
Yeah.
And I'm here if you need anything, yeah. but also like, go play.
Because you almost get the sense that like the casting is the part where maybe that's where he's thinking a lot. Yep. And that's why maybe it was a long casting process because finding the right person for all these roles is really important because when you find that person, then you're like, we know we trust them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And whatever they do on screen is what we wanted because I guess that's what acting is, right? It's like catching someone in a moment. And then yeah. like these people are just supposed to be living their lives. And so whatever you do on screen is going to read.
Right.
It doesn't have to be all this heady stuff. It mm-hmm. can be like thrown away. And I wonder, do you guys do a lot of takes? Do you move on quickly?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. which you is know, scary, we right?
Yeah.
That, I is. Always yeah. felt like that. Whenever like they say like, okay, we're moving on. And then like no one comes over and looks you in the eyes and is like, hey, that was good. And what you did here, here, and here is good. And that's why we're moving on. Which they don't do because they get it. And then they move on because everyone has a job to do. But right. you're like, right. hold on, wait a second. What?
As like, soon as they say like checking the gate, you're like, wait, no,
don't. I could probably do it better.
Yeah.
You know?
But I wonder if it is like, we're capturing these people in a moment. If, like, that's what acting is. I'm sure it was informed by the fact that you guys were in Sicily, like, on this beautiful resort. Or was it very, like,
yeah.
were you were there to work? Or were you there to, like, experience things in the way that like, Daphne would?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the line definitely felt blurred at certain points mm-hmm. because you are living in the hotel
yeah.
that you're wow. shooting. You know what I mean? So you're in a way, you are having that experience.
Yeah, yeah. Was it weird at a certain point?
I mean, it's kind of weird. But it's like fancy like actor summer camp, which is like always kind of a fucked up thing, yeah. you know? Like
we literally had that with Fire Island.
Yeah.
And so I always say like, people know about 10% of the story from like what the movie shows and like what we say in the press and everything because like yeah. existing all together as a cast that's like doing this like stuff that's a little bit meta because like we all know what it's like to be on vacation with friends or like a boyfriend or whatever and yeah. then like you're doing it and you're there for a long time with each other and there's dynamics at play so it's very
yeah
it's a thing. I'm sure yeah, there are stories.
It's layered for sure.
Yeah.
But overall it was amazing.
How long yeah. were you there?
From February to like the end of July.
Wow.
Shut up.
Yeah.
And that's a quick turnaround. So of this year,
yeah,
2022.
We wrapped at the end of July and the show came out in October.
Wow.
Which is mind boggling.
Yeah, that's
honestly.
Quick.
Yeah.
That's quick, especially for something that feels so intricate.
Uh-huh.
Because that's another like compliment I have for the series is that it's really hard to make that many characters feel completely fleshed out.
Yeah. And like when I started watching the episodes, which is something that I actually really struggle with. I hate watching myself. Most people do.
I think we all have a hard time. Yeah.
But I am such a fan of the show and I love what everybody else is doing so much that I'm just like, fuck it, I'm watching it. But I saw some things in the edit
uh-huh.
where like I remember being in a scene and Mike being like, can you say this? And just like adding a thing.
Yeah.
And then it being in the edit yeah. in this way where I was like, he knew
Ooh.
Then probably that he wanted to put that there in that way. Like, I saw like into his brain for like 2 seconds. Like he's editing the show while he's shooting it.
Yeah. Amazing.
It was really unbelievable.
Yeah. Can you think of any examples from the first 5 episodes or is it too
granular? I think it was in the first episode, actually. It was something that Daphne says in the scene where they're all sitting around drinking spritzes together. Mm-hmm. But I can't remember exactly what the line was.
There's the scene of you guys in Noto, the edibles scene. I love how it was just like...
Oh, yeah. The Bull Elephant's monologue is a moment
Bull
and a
Elephant's
half.
Monologue is amazing. But even just like the acting like on drugs is like so heady for an actor, yeah. I guess. But I think it was so perfectly calibrated. It wasn't like overtaking like the performance. It wasn't even overtaking like the dialogue in the scene. It was just these two people who were talking, were stuck in this big villa or palazzo, just like waxing philosophic mm-hmm. about life. And then the whole Bull Elephant's monologue, and then obviously the moment of like I'm not a victim is just so like I hope you're very proud. I know it's weird to watch yourself, but like I mean, I feel like you're such a standout on the show, but everybody, it's like what we're saying, it's like there's not a weak link.
There really isn't.
Yeah.
Sabrina Imperioli, so Simona Tabasco. I'm forgetting Mia's name.
Impacciatore is her name.
Oh,
Imperioli is Michael Imperioli.
No, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm getting my
name
mixed
up. It's just every character that pops up, I'm like, oh, I'm excited to see what the fuck this is going to be. Yes. Even the characters I really don't like. And you know, it's funny because like, which has nothing to do with anyone's performance. It's obviously all there. But character. Like, you know which character I really struggle with? I texted you, Portia.
Yeah.
Like, to me, she irritates me so much because I'm just like, what do you want?
But haven't you been her, though, like between two guys?
I think I have. And I think that, yeah.
I've been in that situation a million times. And I have a great deal of shame about it.
Yeah.
Or not shame, but just like internal, like, oh, man, that is a human thing. Like,
well, it's that thing of like, there's the guy that you should go with. And then there's the guy that like, for some whatever the fuck reason, like turns the screws. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like, and this fucking smoke show, Leo Woodall, who plays the
we
British guy.
We love Leo.
Yeah.
We love him. He's the best.
And like the reveal at the end of 5, like
I'm still processing that's uncle.
Yeah,
I know.
That's the darkness
by
boo.
Blood.
Yes. And that's like why he's there. You know what I mean?
I'm still reeling.
But is it actually though his uncle?
Oh, okay.
Or is he just saying it's his uncle?
Yeah, oh, see, I like, guess we don't know yet.
But
there we
I
go.
Don't even know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I think
yeah.
it's probably possible.
Yeah.
That he's not related to him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or then, and then maybe he's just there, you know, to do that purpose and be fun. And like, of course, the cover is like, it's my uncle.
Yeah.
You do know.
I don't know. That's if it really is his uncle, that is
fucked.
Truly.
but also like it feels so the show. Like when Jennifer Coolidge just started to walk down the hallway, I'm like, by the way, I felt like Jennifer like slayed this episode
really
to this last episode.
I mean,
the opera scene was
so
fab.
Good.
Beautiful.
And
her waving at the
so funny. It's so funny, but it's so like that. It's so her.
Yeah.
When she's walking down the hallway and like you hear these noises.
Oh my
of
god!
Sex,
and
I was like, I
knew
know
it was
what this
coming,
is gonna
and
be.
I literally was like, oh my god.
Yeah, I'm so scared. Yeah, but it was. I mean, it continues to be just like that show.
Yeah,
and I'm so excited it's going to continue. And obviously, like it is an anthology, so we won't see you in that one. But I wonder if we'll see Jennifer. I wonder if Jennifer's going all around the world.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Who does know?
Who does know?
Who does know?
She takes a sip of her water.
Megan.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst. Hey, everybody. During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs classic clogs and sandals have both covered.
And when we're talking about style, we mean personal style. There's just so many colors and so many gibbets charms. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood and to match your personality and to fit the occasion.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style.
And now let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than the Crocs clogs and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you. Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Bowen.
And we want to introduce you to the new Cantina menu at Taco Bell.
Ooh! It's an all-new chicken menu with fresh new ingredients. Great as a lunchtime option.
Taste for yourself. The slow-roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage,
yummy,
and new avocado verde salsa sauce.
Okay! With new menu options like Cantina chicken tacos, burrito, and quesadilla, there's something for everyone.
With this new Cantina chicken menu, the possibilities are endless.
Try the new Cantina chicken menu at Taco Bell.
Hey, I'm Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas.
And I'm Bowen Yang.
Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the U.S.? The world is powered by entrepreneurs.
And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
In every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss.
From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. Okay, so obviously everyone should be watching The White Lotus, but let's get into the damn thesis of Lost Culture, which was Megan Fahey. What was the culture that made you say culture was for me? This is that thing in pop culture that for some reason you look back on and you're like, that changed me.
Okay, well, here we are.
Yeah.
Avril Lavigne in a tie.
Wow. Are you serious?
I swear to God. Like, it really, I can genuinely sit here and tell you that it changed my life.
Yeah.
Okay.
What was it about it? Sartorially?
Yeah. Please unpack.
Yeah.
I honestly, I don't even know.
I love it.
Why? I was so affected by her presence at that time.
Uh-huh.
Like, truly started going to Abercrombie & Fitch and buying men's cargo pants to wear to school.
Wow.
Etnies, skate shoes.
Yes.
She's never been on a skateboard in her life.
No,
but
she
wants the aesthetic.
Yeah. Multiple pairs of skate shoes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Where did you grow up?
Western Mass.
Western Mass. Uh-huh. Okay, cool.
So then, you know, for Christmas one year, my lovely, adorable parents, like, I could cry when I think about them, like, going onto the Avril Lavigne site and, like, buying the official merch tie for me for Christmas. And then, like, shortly thereafter, her coming out in an interview and being like, I hate it when other people wear ties. Like, I was wearing ties because nobody else was wearing them. And I was 13 or 14 or whatever. And I was like, I won't recover from this.
No, my God. That's the thing. Is like,
it was really a big heartbreak.
Do you ever see the interviews from her like now from that time? And she's like, I don't fucking know, man. I don't like fucking hate pop music, man. Like, fuck it. Like, I don't even know to be a fucking pop star, man. I'm like, are you crazy? You're 18 years old. Like,
was she
really was
on
Hinge.
Was it 18 or was
she was young.
And so like we give her a
I think
pass
she was 17 when her first album came out.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And I remember like hearing radio DJs talk about her like, this is the new hot chick on the scene. I'm like, this girl, I'm like 12 and I'm like, this girl's too young. Like, I know there's something fishy about this one.
Why are they talking like this?
Like,
was this,
okay,
so do you think this is like a tomboy phase or was it not even that? It was just like this punk / skater aesthetic, which was at the time and still is like just very cool, very exciting. Like there was like a quality and like a convention around it that was very interesting to people.
I feel like it just gave me permission in some way to like access this part of myself that I couldn't before.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I sang a lot growing up. And so I used to do these like really embarrassing like like one time for like Disney Radio. I like rocked up to like this place with like a karaoke machine and like sang covers. And I sang one of her like darker cuts from the first album.
Yeah.
What was it? Do you remember?
Yeah.
It was like Losing Grip.
Wait, it was like
not losing grip.
It's been so long. I write this song. You don't know me. Don't ignore me.
Yeah. Wait, this is the thing. Is like my sister had the album, and I would hear her listening to it, and this was the post the Kelly thing, and so I was trying so hard, but the hooks were good.
I mean, you were onto something. To be fair,
I saw rudeness, and I called it out.
The guy who was like running the little event that I did, where I sang a cover of that song to a karaoke track, was like, maybe next time cut that one. He was like, it's a little too heavy. And I was like, yeah, too hardcore for you, Disney Radio. Like, I loved that happened. I was like, oops, too dark.
I was too edgy for Disney Channel. Yeah.
Do you guys want to know something? What we had on in the car every hour, every minute we were driving was Radio Disney.
Yeah, that was huge.
It was huge. And there would be like little local ads for like, they're doing an event at the mall. And like, I would beg. I wouldn't even get to the point of asking my parents to go. But I, in my mind, I was like, if I could show up,
yeah,
I would blow everyone away.
Yeah. I'm sure you would have.
I'm sure I wouldn't have. But the dream was just like to show up at one of those things and meet other kids or something.
Meet other
like
kids
that.
With talent.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a part of the biz.
You wanted to get on the radio.
I wanted to get on the radio. Yeah. Or just to like be on stage or something,
totally.
You know? Like I feel like this is like you like honing this skill for years and years. And this is.
But that's also like, it speaks to this thing that I think we all probably felt as children. Mm-hmm. Like, did you feel like there was just something inside of you where you just like, you just sort of knew that at some point you would probably do some weird stuff in this arena? Like, not even as it applied to being like super successful at it, but like, I didn't end up going to college because.
You were working.
I did next to normal.
Yeah.
And I just remember like when I knew that I wasn't going to school, like I had applied to colleges and stuff. I like wasn't that surprised that it wasn't happening. Like
I grew up
and I was like, I'm going to go to college. That was always the plan. Like I was never planning to not go. But when it didn't happen, I was like, oh, yeah, that seems right. Somehow. Did you guys have that when you were kids? Like in any way?
I definitely felt like connected to. Like, I remember when American Idol first started happening and there was a concept of you could go audition and be from anywhere.
That like changed the paradigm for me.
I think that's why I latched onto Kelly so much is because I genuinely felt like she came from nowhere and got to become a star just from being talented and being herself and et cetera. And that definitely was like a North Star for me to the point where during the second season of American Idol, there was a contestant named Matt Rogers. And I thought, well, now
season
I can
two?
Never get my dream. Yeah, season two.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I remember being like, they're never going to have another Matt Rogers on American Idol. Oh. And I remember thinking as like a 13-year-old, like, that will be the way that I become who I'm supposed to become is through American Idol, like delusional suburban kid. You know what I mean? But like, it's like
not delusional because
not at all.
You were seeing it like you.
Well, I just saw it as like a feasible path forward because that was what was fed to us by the American Idol messaging machine. It was like it can happen to you. And also at that time, I was realizing I was gay and stuff and like really wanting an escape and really thinking like it's got to be bigger and more than this.
Yeah.
So like I do identify with what you're saying. And clearly Bowen was like, once I storm the stages of Disney Channel, it's going to be over for these hosts.
Not even Disney Channel. Radio Disney.
Radio Disney. That's what I meant.
We're all ears. Oh my God.
We're all ears.
That was the jingle.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I love this answer so much because it's not just Avril Lavigne. You're saying it's Avril Lavigne with a tie.
Yeah.
That's the perfect kind of answer where it's so specific.
It was bigger than just Avril Lavigne, and thank God, because as we know, she was a cruel woman, a cruel girl.
The second album
slaps.
Amazing.
Well, that was when I had to start retracting it. Because, did you think that I was going to give it up to you?
Oh, my God.
You better sing.
That song.
Don't try to tell me what to do. Oh, don't try to tell me what to
say. That song gets forgotten.
Okay, and the messaging is still hits.
Totally.
You know, she's still out here, like, telling you to do whatever the fuck you want.
Yes.
What's crazy, though, is I actually saw her. So, that was the first concert I ever went to.
Great.
My best friend and her older sister took me. And like, then wow, I saw Avril Lavigne in Vegas for the While We Were Young Fest, which was like a few weeks ago.
Oh my God, how was it?
So like, you're familiar with the conspiracy theory that she's
dead? She's replaced. Yes, that she's been replaced. And then what is the theory? At what point did she die?
I'm starting to think about it. I just have never seen someone like truly sounded amazing.
Yeah, she's got a great voice. Incredible. I mean, we can say it. Yeah.
Yeah. But nothing going on underneath?
Like a real like...
Roteness.
Sure.
R-O-T-E.
Uh-huh.
Or just like, I hesitate to say robotic. Or something, because that's, I feel like this.
Well,
you don't want to say like this person, whoever this person is inhuman.
No, like, but I think that it probably is fair to say that she's been doing it a long fucking time. Uh-huh. And there definitely was a point in her career where she was like, you know what? Give him girlfriend. Give him the kawaii. You know what I mean? Like, she definitely like checked out or like stopped trying to do.
It was Hello Kitty was when it was.
Hello
like...
Kitty was a wild moment in time.
Yeah,
that was a wild moment in time. Did you know about this?
No.
We were Hello Kitty. This is her fourth album or fifth.
Oh, well, who cares after a while?
First was Let Go. Second was, oh God, well, I'm blanking on the name. Third was Best Damn Thing, which is Girlfriend, which I think is a great album.
No, Best Damn Thing is good. But then after that, she started to do the Hello Kitty song. And...
So she did a whole like, this was post.
Are you going to play Stefani. It?
Because I'll
we
play
could play it.
It.
We could
play,
play
it.
It.
I think it's important that you hear it. Okay, but oh God, Goodbye Lullaby. She's got
And then there was also Keep Holding On from the Aragon soundtrack, which actually is about Keep Holding On.
Yeah.
That was like during her phase where she was married to the guy from Nickelback, right?
Chad. Yes. And that was again, and she also dated Brody Jenner for a long time.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
Wow. And Brody Jenner was like legit one of the hottest guys ever. Like, obviously, like, well, he's Brody Jenner, whatever, but like she dated him for a long time.
She,
and
did,
I was
she
like,
dated the Sum 41 guy.
Yeah, she did Derek Whibley. I think they were even married.
They were married first, then it was Nickelback.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She like had like a really...
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Like making an aggressive play for like the Asian
Harajuku
market.
Girls. But this was after Gwen Stefani did Harajuku Girls. It came out at just the wrong time, which was when it was like, as a culture, everyone was like talking about appropriation.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I kind of understand what she was trying to do, and it completely failed.
Yeah.
And it was not executed well at all. But it is shocking. And I feel like that was when, like, I don't know, like the soul sort of left the body or something. And is this what you're saying?
I mean, what you just said feels like feels the way toward it.
Yeah.
But you could see it live, like in person. That's even more chilling.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was pretty chilling.
You know, I do think that she seems like a full grown adult now. And like, you know what I mean?
But she just came out with an
album. On everything. Yeah. And I mean, look, she's talented. She's really talented. Is she the same girl as the 17-year-old who came out? Is she dead and replaced? Not for us to say.
Not for us to say.
Only God can say.
But it's the same thing as Paul McCartney. Or as all the Beatles. No, but specifically Paul McCartney. That Paul McCartney died, and this guy is just like an impersonator.
So you mentioned Next to Normal, and I want to ask, did you cross over with Alice Ripley, or was it Maren Maisie?
So I was an understudy when Alice was doing the show, but I did do the show with her as an understudy.
I saw Alice do it, but I believe that... Was it Jennifer?
Who
was
Jennifer Damiano.
Jennifer Damiano. Yes. I did see Jennifer Damiano.
So you must have been a queen on the stage.
She was great. She's been so good. In the wings or something. Like
you guys were roommates.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, which is like kind of psychotic. Like it didn't feel weird for us at the time, but like I remember any time it came up and we mentioned that we were living together and I was her understudy, everyone was like, "Are you guys okay?"
Yeah.
I think we were having a blast.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
No problem.
It was so fun.
That sounds great.
That was an amazing show.
It was pretty special.
I remember, I don't think I've ever sobbed like I sobbed when I saw that show. I mean, that the entire last, like, have you seen Next to Normal on stage?
I only know the recording. I don't know. I've never seen the show.
The entire last, like, 15 minutes, like, it's like, "Hey, number three. Perfect for you." That through like
I am the one. You knowing reprise. The sequence is making me honestly want to cry.
You don't even know. Cute. Like that was such a special show. I saw it with my friend Mackenzie Darris. We won the lottery. Actually,
we were at NYU,
and we won the lottery. And it was the first time we had ever even tried the lottery, and we won. And we got these like the like seats in the balcony, like I call them the Lincoln seats, like disrespectfully. You know what I mean? Like those, like the ones Jennifer was sitting in watching the opera. Yeah, yeah. That's where we were. And I had just like such a profound emotional reaction to that show. And I think Aaron Tveit had just left. So I didn't see him, but that was like such a moment. Was that your Broadway debut?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was like the first thing I ever really did on stage.
That's a great role.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that'll be one of the coolest things I've ever done in my whole life for forever. I mean, it was just so special.
Yeah. And did you stay with it through when Maren was there?
Yeah.
Oh, what a legend.
She's my angel.
Yeah.
Her and Jason were really incredible. I'm so grateful for them in that moment in my life. And I like actually might cry because...
Oh, I know. She's
I was so young
lady.
And yeah. She was so warm and like smart and had great boundaries and like knew how to take care of herself and was a team player. And I feel like when you're 18 and you haven't learned how to be in an environment like that, it's really easy to learn bad habits.
Yes.
From other people.
Yeah.
And so when she and Jason came in, they like fully just scooped me up and like held me through that whole experience in this way where I felt like it changed how I continued to move through my career after that because they were so amazing to me.
Yeah.
And Jason's, I'm still very close with him and I'm just, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. She was an amazing talent.
Yeah.
She really was. She was really one of the greats. And I almost feel like while she was with us, she never really got like that moment to be considered like, you know, on the level of like Patty and like, but like she really was. Like, and I remember there was that amazing tribute to Sondheim that they all did and she sang Losing My Mind. And it was just so incredible. She was one of the greats.
Yeah.
But to have someone like that display care, I think it all comes down to care.
Yeah.
And that's a thing that is unfortunately not super baked into, like, it's just like human nature, right? It's like everyone's in their own little world. Like, it's hard to, in that kind of environment, reach out in this way. And any form it shows up in, like, care is just like a very powerful thing, especially with what you're saying when it's your first job and your first job will always be your first job. Or maybe it wasn't, was it technically your first? I mean,
yeah,
let's just say
totally.
It was your.
Yeah.
Your first job will always be your first job, and then it defines so much. Of course, it still like informs the way you move through your career.
Yeah. And also, that show really required everyone involved to be an exposed nerve every night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was emotional. That must have been fucking tough.
It was really hard.
Yeah.
But I also didn't even know how hard it was because I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what I mean? Like, when I think about it now, I'm like, I don't think I could do it again.
Oh. Do you want to go back to Broadway and do the stage?
I would love to.
Yeah.
Of course.
You fucking should.
You should.
You.
But also, like, in theory, like, everyone wants to do that. And then, like, Broadway is so different now. You know what I mean? It's, like, hard. There's, like, almost nothing. Not to say there's almost nothing out there, but, like, you know. It's hard.
It's figuring itself out.
Yeah. Especially in the new phase of, like, post-pandemic and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we're going to K-Pop the Musical premiere in a few days.
Oh, my God.
That's
going
to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our friend Jason Kim, like, wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that'll be fun. But there's stuff out there. Have you seen the new Into the Woods?
I have not.
Oh, you have to go.
Okay.
You should be Cinderella.
Oh my God.
You should!
Absolutely.
So I actually auditioned for the film.
Oh, you did?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it was like a really embarrassing experience because I was not off book with the song. So I was like...
Was it for Cinderella? Was it on the Steps of the Palace?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the casting director was like, she like let me stumble through.
That's nice.
And then she was like, "So we're gonna bring you back, because I just sort of feel like you have to know the song better, in order to audition for this." And I was like, "Okay, thank you." And I left. And I was like, "I will not be returning. Like I was never gonna get that. I think I can't even remember if I went back.
See,
I might have gone
you.
Back, but I just was like, it's not gonna be me. I developed like a pretty intense performance anxiety.
Really?
In that moment in time, I actually stopped auditioning for musicals altogether because I was struggling so much.
Because you just had like a mental block?
Well, I did Next to Normal, which was very specific. It was like this pop rock musical. I never really had any formal training. I didn't, you know what I mean? So like, because the show was so popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And because the show was so popular and stuff, my agent at the time was like sending me in for every musical under the sun. And I was getting really intimidated because, you know, you're sitting outside and you're hearing all these people sing.
Yeah.
And they're amazing. And they have all these, I felt like they had all these tools that I didn't have.
Yes.
And I really spooked myself out. Like I would go into the room and I would forget the words, or I would like crack, or like my mouth was dry and I couldn't do, and it, and I pushed myself for a while. I was like, just do it, just do it, just do it. And then I was like, actually, I think I'm going to take a break because I don't think I'm learning anything from this. Like, I think the line between like pushing yourself out of your comfort zone and like knowing when to protect yourself is a tricky line. And I finally got to a place where I was like, I'm not, this isn't serving me. This is actually only making me feel bad. So I'm going to take a break.
Yeah.
And then realize like, I also don't have to be in, like every musical is not right for me.
Right.
And that's okay. So maybe I stop just going in for every musical because I can't, I have the opportunity to.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
That's
I
such an important, too. So important to realize that.
Yeah.
To understand that.
There was a second there where when I was like leaving college, and again, like you had no real formal training. Like I did take a couple voice lessons in college and I was doing musical theater, but really it was extended through comedy. And the way I always say, like a comedian can learn to sing. And there are so many comedians that actually have great voices because they're committed. It's like you knock down that boundary because you like force yourself into commitment and bravery and just think, well, I'm not the singer, so I might as well just fake it. And then you realize like you have access once you just take those checkpoints away. But then like you go into an audition scenario, like walking into fucking Telsey.
Why is that the scariest place ever?
It's a bad feeling.
Because you go in and you listen to these men just make sounds that are different from anything you can make. Like how effortless it sounds for them to like pop up into a belt. It's just like, you know what I'm saying? It's like totally it's like that musical theater sound that's just like, oh, you've never smoked a cigarette in your life,
aliens.
Never even looked at one.
It's amazing.
Like Ben Platt, like the sound he's able to make. And how quickly it's like, I describe it as like a weapon. Mm-hmm. It's like so resonant and so effortless that I'm like, I don't even know that my body could ever do that. And then I think maybe some people are just born with a certain like way of being physically that their body can just make that sound.
Mm-hmm.
But you walk into Telsey and you hear that and you're like, oh, what the fuck am I doing here?
Yeah, get me out of here.
Get me out.
But you know what, Matt? Honestly, I'm just realizing in this moment, you're my new Avril Lavigne.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, because you, when we sang together, like did the thing where you gave me permission to like be comfortable and get outside of myself and like be in the moment with you, like because your voice is truly insane.
Oh,
it's a beautiful voice.
And you're also the funniest person alive. So your ability to do both of those things. And I could feel you doing it to the audience as well. Like, it's such a magical... I mean, both of you, honestly, can do this thing,
right? But you saw...
But I experienced it with you in that moment.
You were very
kind. Like, I'm just... It's just landing on me now that, like, you fully did that.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I experience it every time we're on a stage together. It's comfort. It's care.
Here's what I'll say is, like... This is what I would say to anyone, and you guys are being so nice, and that's so kind, but what literally hacked... the whole system for me was just that all an audience wants to do is have fun.
And if they're watching,
they just want to have fun.
Yeah.
And if you are having fun, like I feel like everyone has fun. And I actually got that from Amy Poehler's book.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Yes, Please. Yeah. And I've always, Amy has always been like my person that I'm most inspired by. Like I remember when I was like 18 at NYU and closeted and knew I had to change my life. I was going to Google the person I looked up to most in the world. And that was Amy Poehler. And so I Wikipedia'd her and found out everything she had ever done and like pretty much copied her. Like I signed up for UCB, auditioned for the improv classes or whatever, but when I read her book, she said something like, the biggest hack or like the advice I got that I would always give everyone else is, if you are having fun, they are having fun. And so it's just this thing of like, that I find so much joy in singing, I find so much joy in performing, and also so much responsibility when people buy tickets to see a show that's like with your name on
it. Sure, yeah.
So it's like that thing of, you better... Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Every time I go out there too, I'm fucking nervous. Like I've never been more afraid than to go lead up to my special. No, I was like, you saw, I was like a hermit for 3 weeks.
But that's your process though, is that you're like, I'm gonna not drink
Like, right.
I'm not going to, like, have these, like, party hardy nights.
It was, like, an antisocial thing. No drinking, no smoking. Like, it was, like, which is, like, hard for me, someone that likes to, you know, go out and stuff. But it is important. Like, you do have to take care of yourself so that you can be in the mental space to go out there and then give.
Can I scope out a little bit? Because I think the three of us all have this thing of, I wasn't formally trained.
Right. Mm. And which is a thing that can stays with you forever.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're over that a little bit or no?
I mean, maybe a little bit, but mm-hmm. But now that you're saying that, like, I do feel like it's there a bit. Like, when I found out that I was going to do the White Lotus, I was so excited for 2 seconds, and then I was immediately terrified.
Yes, because you know everyone is going to see this.
And I didn't feel like I could hang with the cat. Like, that there were so many amazing actors that I felt like had earned their spot, and there was this part of me in my head really? That was like
imposter syndrome.
You haven't done that yet.
Yeah,
but that's all it comes down to, is that it is imposter syndrome. Clearly it does not like hamper anything for either of you. It's not a thing that people think about. Oh, this, Matt's not formally trained, why is he trying to hit that note, you know? Like, or like, clearly Megan, you're in control of like your instrument, because like in every scene I'm just like, how did she do that?
Yeah.
Oh my god. I'm saying this as a way to like pep myself up a bit, because I'm like, that's really been like in the brain, on the brain for a little bit for me. I'm like, oh, am I?
Even now still?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's in the most famous television show in the world.
Well, no, but it's...
Yeah, like, talk about pressure. Like, yeah. I can't even imagine, truly.
Yeah, but it's that thing where I've lost the thread of like the fun a little bit. And yeah. I just gotta like, and that's purely internal. There are definitely external factors, but like, I just gotta get back on the fun.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because I was watching actually like the interviews with the whole cast. They have these really fun like featurettes.
Yeah. I watch all of them.
Yeah, and I love the entire cast, so I watch all of them. But did you see, it was like the three Italian actresses and Sabrina Impacciatore, who plays Valentina. I have it too. There's something going around.
Uh-oh.
And it's not COVID. I've taken a million COVID tests a day.
Mm-hmm. Just so everyone knows. How do you have time for that?
A million?
It's been two. and I barely have time
for
that.
He rounds up to a million.
But I was watching an interview with her, and she was saying how, you know, when you're an Italian actor and then you get this big American show, that's like crazy. So like, you felt a certain way about it. And then someone who's like, now I'm going to be on the world stage for real, and this is really going to change my career, especially in the role of the manager, which was done so to Emmy winning, you know, expert success by Murray Bartlett. And she said that she described a situation where she got to set and she started to have a panic attack.
Oh, no.
And that Michael Imperioli came over to her and was like, hey, you are amazing. You are supposed to be here, et cetera.
That man is a king.
Oh.
For anybody who wasn't sure.
Showbiz legend.
Truly the kindest, loveliest man.
You get that.
Obsessed with him and his wife. They're amazing.
And that character too. So
I felt so heartbroken for him when he was walking on the beach in that last episode and he was seeing all the families. The man has a disease. You know what I mean? Like,
it was really sad.
Like, you know, like, I understand, like, by the way, that first episode, like, one of the most iconic scenes was when he gets on the phone with Laura Dern, who's playing the voice of the wife, and she's absolutely screaming at him. You're like, what has this man done?
Yeah.
And then you realize, like, when you get to the end of five, like, he's really sick. Like, he's got a disease, and, like, you know, you see him struggle with it and really want to be better. But he's a sex addict to the extent where, like, he is fully self-destructive. And you do see him, like, angry at his father, who's F. Murray Abraham, stunning. I mean, that scene with them at dinner.
Oh, amazing.
Okay, I watched them film that.
Did you?
Yeah. I was sitting at the monitor, like, whenever I could sneak.
Oh, that's, you were great.
Yeah. And yeah. Like, watching Coolidge, are you kidding me?
Yeah, of course.
Backstage pass.
Yeah.
I watched them do that scene and I just cried. I was like, how? Yeah. And they make it just seem so easy.
Yeah, what he said,
I loved your mother.
He's like, I loved your mother. It's not that simple. And Murray Abraham goes, yes, it is. And he just lays back. I said, that is a film icon.
Oscar winner.
Right there.
Yeah.
I was like, he just the way the camera sat on him as he sat back in his chair too, I was like,
damn,
this is the shit right there. That was really fucking good.
Writing of this episode of five, just excellent. I'm sorry I keep bringing it up, Megan. Is it? Whoopsie. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, that was iconic.
It's a spooky moment. I was glad that Mike also wanted it to be spooky.
Yeah.
And then well, you are a little scary in it. You are a little
scary in it. It's a little scary.
Because I also thought there was a little bit of, when you said to Aubrey, like, well, you have to do things that make you feel better. I thought you were kind of coming on to her a little bit. I thought there was a little bit of that too. Look at you. Oh my God. Like,
first of all,
I fucking love Aubrey Plaza. And you know when it all changed for me? Ingrid Goes West. Have you seen Ingrid Goes West?
Of course. Oh. I love that movie.
Oh.
She's like, so great.
Oh, she's really pulling back the layers lately.
I see. Apparently, the premiere, it came up recently in like my Insta stories, but like at the premiere, like Elizabeth Olsen wears a dress and then Aubrey Plaza wears the same dress.
I'm like, Which is such a funny comment on the movie, too.
No, it's totally planned.
Yeah.
It's such a great comment.
We almost did something sort of like that in the scene where we go to Noto and I'm wearing those like insane space buns.
Yeah, I love that.
She and I were getting ready to go do that pool scene and she was like, should I put my hair up like yours? And I was like, yes. So she did. And we went down. And of course, Mike was like, I don't care. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he was like, yes.
Yeah. And then her hair person was like, I don't think you should do it. It looks bad. And she was like, okay.
It would have been so cute if you guys had the same hair.
We just thought it was so funny. Like maybe either Daphne did her hair for
100%.
Her. Or she was just like really trying to hop on board and was like, me too.
Yeah.
It would have said so much. Oh, but wow.
Doing a scene like that in the pool. I recently shot something where I had to be in the pool.
In the water. Yeah.
That is a lot. You're in the water for a long time.
Let me tell you about shooting in the ocean.
That's your first scene. Wait, yeah, let's chat about this. So you open the series and it's like, so you're with the two Survivor contestants, which by the way, I'm a major Survivor fan.
Same.
So did you know Angelina and Kara going in? Like, do you know who they were?
I watched that season when I got to Sicily with Adam DeMarco.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and we were both completely obsessed. We would go to set and ask Mike, like, so do you really not have a toothbrush? Like, we wanted to know everything. And then towards the end, because we shot that scene, like...
Towards the end.
Yeah. Mike was like, guess who's doing scenes with you? I literally fangirled. They were having dinner one night. And I was like, can I come meet them? And they were amazing and so lovely. And
they were great.
They were great. I love them.
They were great. One really funny thing that happened, though, was like Angelina, when the body gets pulled from the water, I guess during one of the takes, she was like crying a lot.
like in acting, crying.
Yeah. And Mike went up to her and he was like, Angelina, stop crying. He was like, you don't know this person. It's not sad. It's scary. And she was like, okay, fine, sorry, like I just was trying something.
She's acting.
Like lighthearted. It was very like they have such a cute banter. Seeing him with them was really special.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like they just went through this like really specific, crazy experience and like they're so close. You know, like, and they still take such good care of each other. Like he's such a loyal person.
Yeah.
In my experience. Like I think he likes to keep his people close to him, which is like so nice. But yeah, shooting in the water was like really,
yeah,
it's really hard. About
it. Did you do that a million times?
One million times.
Yeah.
And the water's pretty warm when you first get into it.
Right.
But after a while, it just doesn't matter. It's so cold and like running. So the water's really shallow. So we had to go pretty far out in order for it to be deep enough for me to like have enough water.
Yeah.
So I had to run like kind of far in to get to the beach and it was so hard.
Yeah.
I was getting to the beach and my knees were like buckling and I was falling. And Mike was like, I really loved how you fell. And I was like, great, because I can't not fall. Yeah. I was like, that wasn't a choice. Like my body is literally like, I'm getting out of the water and the resistance is going away and I'm like collapsing. But yeah.
Body next day was a blob. Like, were you so damn sore?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine. I don't ever want to do that. And then for you to have to like emote like discovery, shock, disgust, you know, like
yeah,
all
that was
that.
A lot. It was all there too. It was really good. It was really good. You know, there was going to be a scene we can reveal at the end of Fire Island. There was going to be the original climax was going to be. So Bowen gets on the ferry and like rides away and he's going home. And there was going to be a scene where he jumped off the ferry and had to swim to like James Scully in the water.
Oh,
and they
Bowen.
Were going to have like a romantic moment and they had to cut it because why? Like the pH of the water was like
it was too shallow for me to jump 20 feet up from the water. And it just was putrid, rancid water.
Yeah.
No.
And so it was for good reason, but I was a little bit like, oh,
well, you're like a bummer, but then also like the logistics of having to do that, you would have been.
I would have hated it. Yeah, yeah.
Because,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You, it's not just one, well, oh, we jump in the water and swim and we got on film. It's like that would have been maybe even two days.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Yeah, wow. That's intense. I'm glad you didn't have to go through that.
Me too. Very, very glad.
Oh, my God. Well, listen, will you put the good word in for Mike White to come on this podcast? Because, like, we want him.
Of course.
We would, like, we would give him a very good interview. Like, it would be, it would.
I feel like we could always just ask, but, like, I feel like we need people to put it in his ear.
That's always the best way to go about it, yeah. I think.
I feel like he would, A, be a great guest, and B, love to talk to both of you.
We love
like,
him.
Like, truly, what a treat. Both of you.
I mean, well, this has been...
Seriously.
We're obsessed, and it's not over yet.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst. Hey, everybody. During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs classic clogs and sandals have both covered.
And when we're talking about style, we mean personal style. There's just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood and to match your personality and to fit the occasion.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style.
And now let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than the Crocs clogs and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you. Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Bowen.
And we want to introduce you to the new Cantina menu at Taco Bell.
Ooh! It's an all-new chicken menu with fresh new ingredients. Great as a lunchtime option.
Taste for yourself. The slow-roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage,
yummy.
And new avocado verde salsa sauce.
Okay! With new menu options like Cantina chicken tacos, burrito, and quesadilla, there's something for everyone.
With this new Cantina chicken menu, the possibilities are endless.
Try the new Cantina chicken menu at Taco Bell.
Hey, I'm Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas.
And I'm Bowen Yang.
Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the U.S.? The world is powered by entrepreneurs.
And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
In every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss.
From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia and Intuit QuickBooks.
We are now transitioning to our final segment, which is I Don't Think So, Honey. This is that 1 minute segment that we do where we take a minute to rail against something in pop culture that really needs to be dragged, Bo.
I have something.
I have something too.
Okay. You go first, as is
yeah.
tradition.
This is
I'm gonna go first.
Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. The White Lotus is Portia. I'm sorry,
oh
but like,
my God.
Haley Lou, we love you. We stand. We support the girl and we support the girls. And we think that you are a young rising talent. But your character is fucking bugging me, boo. Like, what do you want? Because Adam DeMarco, guess what? Like, we saw what he did to Lucia in that last scene. Like, he could put it all the way down. So I'm sorry, but you know what? Like, don't be derp-a-derp if you don't want to get fucked. Because you are being derp a derp, and that's why he was giving you nice boy energy. Come forward, come
30
forth,
seconds
like you came to Leo Woodall. You need to be giving, we need to turn the body out, give sexual energy forward, Portia, and then you would have gotten fucked by Abby, and everyone wants to get fucked by the king. I want to get fucked by the king.
15
dad.
Seconds.
Abby with his curly hair and his beautiful skin. I am absolutely obsessed. And you know he's got that fuck boy
seconds.
energy, because his father and his grandfather were fuckboys OG. I don't think so. Any Portia. Also, Jennifer
minute.
Coolidge isn't even that bad of a boss.
That there you go. I wouldn't want to be her assistant.
Excuse me though. Like, I was watching her in the last episode, and like Jennifer Coolidge goes over to her and like Tanya says to Portia, like, you're having sex on the boat, aren't you? Like, work. And then walks away. And I'm like, what's bad about this boss? She took you to Italy. She said you don't even have to work. Just go do whatever your thing is. Just stay at the resort. And you're crying and upset and mad? Get over yourself, girl.
If I showed up as her assistant and then the first thing she says to me in the lobby is, you gotta get lost, I'm like,
I'd be like,
what am I supposed to do?
No, I'd be like, perfect.
Okay.
And you know she makes six figures.
No.
I'm sorry, but as the assistant to Tanya...
Oh, to like a wealth... Yeah, to like an old money person. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's got $500 million, I think?
Yeah.
I think she's got like... That's like part of the thing, right?
Yes, yes. And so, yeah, six figures, maybe. I would venture to guess like... $90,000 Just shy of sex.
Okay, so she needs some more income.
She needs some more income.
But the fact is, like, you're in Italy on vacation, and then she tells you get lost. And,
she's telling you to stay in your room, which is the only thing you're not supposed to do in Sicily.
Yeah, but guess what? Then she didn't stay in her room, and she's not fired.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm just, like, hesitating
to
see.
Yeah, but guess what? Who's out and about? She is.
She is.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, I'm just saying, like, Portia. I don't like the way she's doing Albie.
Yeah, oh yeah, we love Albie.
Of course. Albie is a sweet, sweet boy.
I'm waiting for the turn with him, though. You know what I think is
going to
happen?
A lot of people think he's the killer.
That's what people are saying.
Yeah.
I will say, first season, I wasn't really thinking about who the killer would be. Second, this season, I'm going, oh, the tension is being so perfectly dialed up for everybody that I'm like, it could be any of them, and that's the fun of the mystery.
Ooh, I'll tell you what I hated
Ooh.
when Cameron touched Harper's leg. Mm. I hated that.
Revolting.
And Dark. What bothered me the most was that I think Harper liked it a little bit. And then I was putting myself in Harper's shoes and I was like, ugh, that is that fucking douchebag. That is like, oh, like, why are you making me think about
this? He's very good at playing that guy.
He's
that
great.
Kind of person. Theo.
He's so good.
Excellent.
And he's British. I didn't realize. Or Australian?
He's British. Yeah. And so is Will.
And so is Will.
Well, let me tell you.
The accent work is...
The accent work is... Mwah.
It's very good.
Perfect.
And they're both gorgeous men.
Truly.
Ugh.
Very handsome.
The whole cast.
Buttes.
Period.
Buttes. All around.
Well, that's how I feel about Miss Portia.
I have a non-White Lotus. One.
That's actually fine.
Okay.
We've talked so much about it. So this is Belle and Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Paper towels in bathrooms that are stacked on the tray.
Yes.
Loose.
Oh, yeah. That's so bad.
You have to pull down. Because otherwise, the only choice you have to make with wet hands is grab too many. No one has the wherewithal to only pluck one or two, which is all you really need. But everyone gets a little greedy in the bathroom. No one is above it.
Rule of culture.
No one is above it. That is the human condition. It's got to be in the dispenser so you can only pull down.
30 seconds.
You have to only be able to pull down on the paper towel. You cannot grab up. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
am I making sense?
Yes, I
do. We have to fix this. This is single-handedly going to kill the planet.
15 seconds.
It's not billionaires. It's not corporations. It's us. It's individuals in the bathroom. Grabbing stacks and stacks of PTs, and we got
5 seconds.
There's no overcoming it in the human nature of it.
And that's 1 minute. You know what else is annoying? When you, with wet hands, go into the thing or grab from the side, and then you leave, and like you realize you've made the
whole stack wet.
Wet.
With your own germs.
Yeah,
and so
then
go.
Other people will. Yeah, and another thing.
Yeah.
if a bunch of paper towels are all wet, then you probably are going to take all those wet paper towels and throw them out and waste them and then make a mess when you're drying your hands. And it's just this cyclical thing.
Get them off the tray, away from the sink, put them in the dispenser.
Yeah, but then I'm going to say something else. So you want to just bypass the paper towels altogether and go to the dryer. But now the dryers nowadays are not cut and dry. It's not just a hole that you put your hands under and they go. It's like those weird, like the verticals, the diagonal ones, the Dyson ones. Where am I supposed to put my hands to activate this? I'm like this. I'm like doing
I'm voguing in front of it,
trying to get my hands dry.
It's like, this is me with my hand, like trying to get the electric soap thing to work. And I'm like, am I crazy? And then you start moving from sink to sink, just like moving your hands under the thing, hoping that it will come out. I mean, what are we supposed to do? What are we doing?
Also, automatic toilet flushers? No thanks. I got it.
No thanks.
I can take care of this
myself.
You're
missing your cue, hun.
Yeah, hello.
Get the stage manager in here.
And then, of course, they all have the little button, which I'll tell you, I did not realize. I thought when it was an automatic flusher, there was not an option to flush yourself.
I also just learned this.
Really?
I've had many anxious moments in public restrooms where I'm like, I'm going to walk out of here.
And it's going to be my
ruin.
The toilet
has not flushed.
Yeah.
And someone is waiting.
Yeah.
And I can't stay in here anymore, so I just have to go.
Bye. Ooh. And then you run out. But you have to wash your hands.
You have to wash
your hands. And then that's an obstacle.
Oh my God. Remember when that was a whole plot point in Grey's Anatomy season 2?
By the way, she just announced she's done.
I know.
Did you hear that? Yeah, it's time to walk away at 19 seasons.
Ugh, love that woman.
Listen.
One of the best episodes of television.
Was what?
Was Callie didn't wash her hands. She's a surgeon.
Oh,
so funny.
That was big drama.
That was peak Grey's when it was dramedy. When it was kind of a comedy, kind of a drama.
Mm. Were you ever on Grey's?
I was never on
Why did I think you guest starred on Grey's?
I love that. first of all.
Biggest compliment.
You give guest starred on Grey's energy.
Yeah. Well, I think I saved all of my guest star wish energy for SVU.
Oh.
I see. Yes. So,
and wait, were you multiple times?
Just once.
Just once.
Was it a good one? Was it juicy?
It was a very good one.
What was it?
I had a chess piece that said, "One wild ride." Okay.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And a kid.
Yes.
Damn. Who are your scene partners?
Mariska?
It
was Mariska. Oh, wow. Amazing.
And what? Kelly.
And Kelly is a legend.
What is the Mariska vibe?
A queen.
Yeah.
She was so lovely to me. She also is deeply funny.
Oh, yeah. I buy that.
Was ripping jokes all day, which is kind of genius when you think about it. It's probably a very necessary thing for her to do.
Otherwise, you'll go.
The show is
so dark.
Heavy and dark. She just had everybody cracking up the whole day, and she was just great.
Lovely.
Yeah. Well, now we're going to crack open a new I Don't Think So, Honey with Megan. Do you have a topic?
I do. I'm nervous that I can't speak about it for a minute, but let's see what happens.
No, you're going to do it.
You'll find it.
People find that they have so much more to say than they ever could think about these things that nag at them.
A little controversial. I talked to my friend Shelby about it on my way here.
It's the best time.
She disagrees with what I'm about to say.
Okay, well, that's good.
May or may not be the end of our friendship.
We love Discord. We love discourse. Discord and discourse.
Yeah.
Title of app. Okay. Maybe not. All right. This is Megan Faye's I Don't Think So, Honey. Her time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Hot coffee.
Oh!
Okay.
Drag it in.
No, please. Because I ordered iced and he gave me hot and I was like, I'll just take it.
No, hot coffee is a scam.
Yeah.
Hot coffee is never hot.
Yeah.
What?
And beyond that, as a society, we do nothing to support coffee being hot. Have you ever been in a restaurant and asked for a hot coffee and had it served to you in a device that is meant to help that thing stay hot?
No.
The only thing it's supposed to be is hot. And they're giving us paper mugs. They're giving us glass, whatever.
No.
Porcelain, nothing.
30 seconds.
It doesn't keep it hot.
Yes, yes.
I always get iced coffee because it comes cold and it stays cold, and I like to know what I'm in for.
And you're an ally. 15
seconds. It sounds really great, but this coffee that I have right here was warm for 15 seconds, and now it's not even cold. It's like tepid. It's disgusting.
This makes me want to throw up.
Five seconds.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that America runs on Dunkin', but does it?
That's a rule of culture. America, the rule of culture number one number is that again?
Six.
6.
America runs on Duncan, but does it?
Ben Affleck found dead. All right, wait. This actually is a huge moment because now you're a true ally, because as we know, gay people are iced coffee. And so that's something important to say. And also, I want to reveal something. So when I was younger, when I was a little boy, when I was in sixth grade, my science fair experiment was what type of container would keep something hot or cold the longest.
Okay.
The answer? Styrofoam. And well, if you drink out of styrofoam, you're going to get sick and you're going to poison the environment. Everything else, the results were so bleak. Hot things became cold very quickly.
So fast.
And that's the thing with hot. It becomes cold.
You know
that's
what?
That's the thing with hot.
That's the thing with hot. It becomes cold.
My thing lately, just one little shot of espresso. You take it to the head, and then you don't have to worry about it cooling or anything.
Yeah.
It's just hot. God.
That's so European.
It's very Italian.
It's very Italian. And I kind of feel, it feels right. Even if I drink coffee, I don't know if it's really hitting the receptors anymore.
Yeah. Well, now that we're used to cold brew,
I think it's time to move on. I really do.
From cold brew?
As a culture.
Why? Elaborate.
It's driving us crazy.
Oh, well, honey, I knew that. If I have two, I'm a killing machine.
There you go.
I'm not even kidding.
Why is it like lighter fluid? Like, what is happening with the caffeine level?
Someone said to me yesterday, I'm on my second cold brew, and I looked down at my phone. It was 9:45 a.m. What?
No one's ever like, I'm glad I did that.
No, when I didn't know what cold brew was, when I didn't know it was different than iced coffee, I once drank two like in a row. I thought I was on Molly.
Do you have a panic attack?
I felt like I was on Molly. I felt like I was fucking, you know, the boys in White Lotus.
Yeah.
That's a great way to process two cold brews. I think if I did that, I would start like sweating and crying. It was shaking.
It was like that. I mean, it was like a not good experience. And I was like, oh, okay, can't do that again. Now I understand. Like, I just didn't realize. I thought that cold brew was a new name we were giving iced coffee. That's what I thought.
No.
I was wrong.
You were deeply wrong. Can we talk about really quickly, because you brought up the boys on Molly. I'm obsessed with the girls, but Simona Tabasco, yeah. Lucia.
Yeah, she's really
a star.
She is tearing
excellent
it
star.
Up. Just alive in every moment.
Also, like, not for nothing, but like, she didn't speak much English when she started the show.
And I hate that I'm thinking about this, but I'm like, I couldn't give. If I was acting in a different in a language that I did not speak that well, I don't know that I would be able to like give it this. Like,
that's the thing that's so impressive about her presence and what she brings to the character, because I can't even imagine how difficult that would have been for her.
Like, yes.
Nobody in her family speaks English.
Wow.
She learned so much. And even just like when I saw her for the premiere, she's like so good. I mean, she's, and just like as an actress, like watching her, I'm just like, you've got the special thing where like you just walking across the frame 100%. Is like effective. Like it just does something.
She's alive in every moment. There was a moment where she went over to the bar to order a drink, and just the way that she was behaving, I was like, this girl is really
just in her
good.
Body.
She
like, is.
She's very really impressive. Alive in every moment. The two of them together are hilarious.
Amazing.
And like,
so cute story.
Yes.
They are really close friends in real life. They're on like an Italian show together.
Oh.
They put each other on tape for their respective roles.
Oh my God. I can
and Mike
cry.
Had no idea. And cast them without knowing. And
that
then they
is
both
so
got it.
Fun.
Isn't that so sweet?
That's so nice.
They put each other on tape for it.
Yes.
I could cry.
I know.
Wow.
But you know what? That's I think they might have mentioned that in the interview that I was watching with Sabrina, because they were all sort of like talking about how the Italian style of acting is actually very different from the American style of acting. The Italian style of acting is more like you really play
give an emotion
and you give like a picture. Whereas like the American style of acting is obviously like, you know, we're really delving into the being and the living as the person.
Yeah.
You know, it's just different in Italy.
Right.
And so this was a different opportunity for them because it was...
They nail it, all of them.
Yeah. And I'm saying like, there's so much going on under the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like really having a blast watching them. I'm super excited for the three of them.
I am too. It's really cool.
And you know what's interesting? You say that she didn't speak English that well, because even in this interview that I watched of them, like there was a couple times that she just starts speaking Italian because you can tell she's not comfortable with the language. And it's funny because on the show, it seems like her character, Lucia, is more comfortable speaking English than Mia. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, that actress whose name is...
Beatrice.
Yeah, Beatrice. Yes, she's stunning.
So amazing. Good.
She actually speaks almost perfect English.
She
but
does,
in
yeah.
the show, she has a hard time speaking English.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
But it's a character choice. It's like Lucia is a bit more like freewheeling, and then Mia's a little bit more like.
It's probably because she's had to enterprise a lot with American guests.
Right, you know exactly. What I mean? Yeah. Like, exactly.
And we were also talking about how we love the depiction of sex work in the show as just something that these people do. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not like shamed in any way. Even the American guests, like, of course, they refer to them as hookers, like, whatever. There's still that, like, little bit of whatever. But the show is very, like, these are girls that this is what they do for a living. Mm-hmm. They're not ashamed of it. And, of course, like, later on in the season, you see that their reality is a little dark, like, with whoever, Alessio, right. who was ever, like, managing their street, operation. Yeah. But, like, it's a very respectful portrayal.
Yeah, I don't think Mike is commenting on it.
Yeah.
No.
They're just characters whose job is in sex work. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think that's unique, you know? It's not, like... They don't exist to comment on that dynamic.
There's no commentary, which is great. And also, what I love is that those characters seem to be the bridge for all of the people, for all the characters. Like, they're the ones who have the most mobility in terms of, like,
totally.
Going in and out of the different groups. And,
yeah.
Like, it's such a great way of storytelling in this season that we're obsessed, Megan.
Yeah, I texted Bill, and I'm like, the characters are overlapping. It's happening. I'm so excited. Like, the way that everyone is now, because I've been waiting for that. And it's also, like, a beautiful slow burn.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Excellent.
You know who I really think, though, is going to be, like, the breakout of the whole thing is Leo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, fully, I think he's going to be, like, James Bond.
For
someday.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean?
He has that.
He's got it, too.
Yeah.
He has an effortless... sex appeal, charm on camera. He pops his like beautiful light eyes. Absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
I mean,
and also, it's like if there was going to be a character that like pulls you away, again, perfect casting.
Of course, it's
you know what I mean. It's like if I'm with someone and like dating them every single day of a trip, and then that guy comes in.
Yeah, who's not leaving with that guy?
Literally, totally. Watch me be Portia, and then I don't think so anymore myself.
Take it back.
Like,
I might have to take it back.
I get it. Like, you're a human woman, girl. Like,
come on.
Is unbelievable. Anyway, The White Lotus is obviously airing on HBO. You can stream it via HBO Max. Is it Sunday nights?
Sunday nights.
Yeah, Sunday nights. And the fucking breakout star is Megan Fahey. And we're so excited that you came
so
on the
much
show.
For coming.
And like everyone's going to be so
kidding
excited.
Me? This was so fun. You guys are unbelievable. Thank you for having me.
And you know that we didn't even talk about how we literally met at Vulture Fest like several years ago. Did you remember that?
We interviewed the Bold Type cast.
We interviewed you guys.
Wait,
yeah,
what?
That was us.
Yeah.
We were the interviewers from Vulture
2018. This was after the Royal. This was after Meghan Markle got married. The day that Meghan Markle got married.
It was when we met you, Aisha,
and
Katie.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That was us.
Wow.
And we didn't even talk about how I met you at Betty Who's concert at the Fonda. Oh,
yes, that I did remember.
That was the night I got with Jared. Yeah, this is so funny.
History, personal history.
It's all a very small world.
Love it.
We adore. And thank you
Love
so
you
much
guys.
For being here.
Thank
and
you.
We end every episode with a song.
Is there anyone trying to find me?
Will somebody come take me home?
It's a day.
Trying to figure out this
life. Won't you take me by the hand, take me somewhere new? Don't know who you are, but I
now if you want to hear Avril absolutely wail the final chorus, and we will give her credit on this one, listen to the album Let Go by Avril Lavigne.
Bye.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey,
You know, it doesn't get more comfortable than clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Some say Titanic is the best gay nightclub in the city, and those people are me.
And me. So set sail with this cookie crazy off-Broadway hit and get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.